Hello, and welcome into another episode of Podcast 63 here with Buck and Lou. It's Season 4, Episode 17, and we finally have some basketball to talk about again. Man, it felt like months, and I know it was only weeks, you know, almost a month, but it's just so great to have some basketball to talk about again. So happy that the guys are healthy and on the court and all that kind of good stuff. But this week, we do have two games to talk about. We have our game against San Francisco, which we just kind of stumbled upon last week during recording, which was great. And I hope you guys like that because we definitely got a kick out of it. And then we'll talk about the Bradley game as well, our second conference game of the season. But before that, we're going to talk about a couple pieces of news, some fun articles or fun tidbits that happened because of our performance this week. And Lou, it was kind of a, I don't know, up and down week, I suppose, but more good than bad, huh? Wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. I would say we started our podcast last week talking about kind of we're upset that we don't have games. Games are canceling. And then we're like, okay, well, we'll look forward. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, we got a game. And then all of a sudden the week was like, wait, we have a game. And the game happened. And then there was another game and both games had great results. Different games, so different kind of impact to see. But I'm just excited to talk about them, see some recognition nationwide. Not all the nationwide recognition we wanted, I think, this episode, but I think we're heading in the right direction if we keep doing what we're doing.
Yep, that is for sure. Yeah, we'll get into all of it here in a minute. So stay tuned, and don't forget, always remember, go Blurs.
He jumps, he passes out to Hunter. Hunter shoots, off the rim. Brown gets it, scores. It's over! We won the ball game! Viola won the ball game! Oh, we won 60-58.
And we are back. So let's start with the news. So we do have, like we mentioned, some recognitions this week for his performance, his excellent performance in the San Francisco game and solid performance at Bradley against Bradley. Ryan Schwieger was the Missouri Valley Conference Newcomer of the Week. He had 24 points against San Fran and then I think 13 against Bradley. I know he hit three threes in the San Fran game and did hit a three in the Bradley game as well. So just a great week for him. I thought he really showed off all like his bag, so to say, in the San Fran game. I'm excited to kind of break down how he did a little bit later in that game. But then, Bradley game too. He showed in the first half, he did most of his scoring in the first half. He kept us in it. I mean, in the first half, at least, you know, we went into half, not down too many, and he kept us in it for the first half and then hit a couple of clutch free throws late in that game. So it was cool to see. Lou, what'd you think of Schwieger's performance this week?
Yeah, I think I really just two kind of different tales of his week game. I think San Francisco, he found really a good kind of fitting well against the team, right? Like 24 points is not something that really goes unnoticed. I think from what I remember, the first half was 2 of 3 from three, so that was great. So just overall, he had a great, I think, performance in the San Francisco game, especially for a guy. So he went 9 of 10. We'll go into more detail when we do game recap. But for a guy to go 9 of 10 after nearly a month of not playing a game, I think that's really impressive. So really huge. And then, without a doubt, a bench points in the Bradley game we'll talk about were critical. And he put up some nice bench points and nice minutes for us. And I think he definitely helped. But overall, love seeing it. I was waiting to text you, Buck, about how it's ridiculous. Could have been player of the week. But this wasn't one of those weeks. I do think he rightfully deserved newcomer of the week. And Isaiah Mosley, from Missouri State hit, game winner and also a lot of points. But I think Schwieger is going to see maybe potentially a few more, not just newcomer, but player of the week. So if he keeps going what he's doing.
Mm-hmm, that's for sure. Yeah, he's been such a key contributor for this team and coming off the bench. And I think I just saw some tweets about it this week. I think we got to start talking about his campaign for sixth man of the year in the Valley, because I don't know of any other bench guys that are doing it as well as he is. So So newcomer of the week for Ryan Schwieger. The other kind of bigger news piece was from Jeff Borzello at ESPN.com, tweeting out ESPN's weekly awards, which includes team of the week, player of the week, win of the week, and I think first or new this week he included a coach of the week, and I don't know if this is going to be like a thing that he keeps doing or they keep doing, or if this is just a way to talk about one coach in particular, our guy Drew Valentine, but Drew Valentine was his coach of the week. And in his little blurb about Drew, he just talks about how impressive that scheduling that game with Todd Golden at San Francisco was. And he did mention Todd Golden, so, you know, props for that, because he deserves, Coach Golden deserves credit as well for reaching out to Drew in the first place. And then he just goes on to say, you know, the on-court performance against San Francisco and then making sure to win that game against Bradley. And I don't think he mentions this, but I'm going to throw in there the play design to get Lucas a wide open three in overtime against Bradley, the hammer play. Braden drove left side of the hoop and almost, you know, jumps out of bounds to throw it to Lucas in the corner and hits a three. Just beautiful play design. Lucas couldn't have had a more wide open shot. But yeah, so this article, great to see Borzello talking up our coach Drew Valentine and getting his flowers because he deserves them. But what did you think, Lou, of Drew getting coach of the week?
Yeah, I think I joked with you even right before we got on. Drew definitely had a great week from a coaching standpoint. I think I would not be saying Drew doesn't deserve it, but I think Todd Golden and him both deserve it. The fact that they said, hey, I want to get this game on. They lost a game. We lost games. And the thing is, though, I think even Todd Golden said in, because I took a photo at the end, is like, the game, no matter win or lose, is going to be a great game in the book for both teams, the winner and the loser. I think I was happy that we won because I think it looks a little bit better, right? Mm-hmm. It's a neutral site loss for San Francisco. They're projected still to go from, I think, Lenardi and stuff. So I think this game was a benefit to both teams. The fact that it was a neutral site and what a neutral site it was, I think really benefits. The fact that Drew did that definitely deserves it. And then I don't know what he said in the halftime speech of the Bradley game. Maybe we'll get into it. I would love to have our own Podcast 63 camera in there, a microphone. But whatever he did, changed the game, changed the team and the mindset. So what a performance the last two games. But excited to be back. And, again, I think Drew is too to finally be able to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. It was just cool little, you know, recognition, obviously, but love to see Drew getting some national recognition. So overall great week, obviously, because we had some great fun things to talk about. But where this all stems from is the basketball. So let's get into that. So as you all know, last week we were hoping there'd be more than one game played. And we found out live on the podcast that we were going to be traveling to Salt Lake City, Utah to play a neutral site game against the University of San Francisco. University of San Francisco is, in the West Coast Conference. They're a great team. I think I saw them up near like the high 30s, like 32, 33 in terms of like KenPom. To be honest, I think neither of us really knew a whole lot about this San Fran team other than they were pretty good and they play in a pretty good conference, along with like Gonzaga and BYU and that kind of stuff. And, this game was a great game. It was just an excellent college basketball game. They were coming off a break of their own. I think they did get in like a Division II team or NAIA team, before playing us. But they have some great talent there, and that was obviously like on display. We came out and it was just a dogfight. It was tough basket after tough basket for both sides. I think the defense, if anything, the defense was a little lacking on either team. A little bit some more easy shots than I think either team would like to give up. But in the first half, we saw kind of a wide array of scoring. We saw, I think Lucas had most, if not all, of his 9 points in the first half. Schwieger himself had a few. And Ugwuok as well. Huddy had some pick and rolls, although I wish he had one more because he missed a pick and roll dunk that I'm sure he got an earful about later. But the story of this game has to be the second half. Again, kind of back and forth. I think we might have been up like two, or it was tied. And actually two huge plays by Tom Welch, I think kind of started the run. There was a drive, like a fake and drive for a layup that he made. And then I think the very next play, he kicked it out to an open Schwieger for a three. And, that just kind of steamrolled the team a little bit and, helped them go on a run and never look back. So, Schwieger, I mean, like we mentioned, finished with 24 points, three rebounds, an assist, and a steal. Huddy was our second leading scorer with 13. He also threw in four rebounds. Ugwuok finished with 10, and then Lucas and Marquise each finished with 9. So Lou, what were some of your takeaways from this game? We'll get into it a lot more because there's something else I want to talk about Schwieger, but what other takeaways did you have from the San Fran game?
Yeah, so for me, it was really just a wake-up for kind of a lack of defending the drive, I think it was. I think you and I spoke about it after the game. It was just – it wasn't more frustrating. It was just like, I know we haven't played in a month, but come on, guys. And it was just Shabazz, it was Bouye, and I think it was Mazalki. I don't know how to pronounce his name, but they both – all three of them kept doing the pick and roll, like you said, on their end, and they just kept being able to just get to the rim. And it wasn't of like, oh, come on, guys. And it was just like, I feel like we could have made it difficult. So that was kind of something that I kept seeing that, and again, the first half, a lot of these guys were shooting great. They were shooting 53%. And then the second half, they shot, I think, nearly 53% again. So it was kind of just like the defense, I think, was waking up. And that's something that I just had to kind of be okay with, while our offense, again, was still trying to be the best it is. And, again, I think it was with 51%. So that kind of call and action of our defense not being there fully the way we are represented in the defensive side of things, but having our offense not kind of lose a step. So that was kind of the thing that really kind of woke me up a little bit. But I think the biggest thing really also for me was just kind of the play of everyone back. I don't think really Marquise Kennedy had a stellar game, right? But he had 9 points and 8 rebounds. So, like, I love that. But then again, Lucas Williams with 9 points, 8 rebounds. So, love the Chicago guys just really mimicking each other, right? Mm-hmm. So, those are things like that. I love seeing a lot of plays run through Huddy. Now, again, do I love the threes? I know he statistically is not that bad. It just, like, sometimes – The second one was a lot. I was like, okay, do we really need that? But some of the pick and rolls, right? The missed dunk was frustrating, I'm not going to lie. But he just – I don't know why he needed to dunk it, because he was so great with just laying it up. So there were so many, like, great points there. So overall, it was great. I really, really was excited. Three-point shooting was okay. I'm not going to hit the alarm button. I think guys are just live shooting threes. They've been practicing probably the last month, right? But shooting a three in a game is different than a month of practice, right? So I think that just comes with the time. So I'm really excited. I think one thing was, just offensive rebounds. I saw this in this game and the Bradley game. Just boxing out were two things that really were kind of sticking with me. But, again, a game we didn't give up on. We were down at half by one. But overall, I think it was really just an exciting game and really a great opponent, and I think it's gonna be a quality one for sure.
Yeah, I mean to this point it's our best win this season for sure. You know, there are other teams that can potentially prove that wrong, and
like exactly
Vanderbilt potentially in the SEC, DePaul if they get hot, Arizona State if they somehow dig themselves out of the gutter. But yeah, you're right. I think it's our best win. For all the other kind of intangibles too, all the other circumstances, revolving around this game, it's just impressive on all levels. One of the things I kind of wanted to point out, was something that happened toward the end of the second half. One of their best players, Shabazz Cahill, or Khalil Shabazz, that's his name. He had got four fouls And he did end up coming out of the game for a little bit, but Todd Golden subbed him back in with 8 minutes left. And I can't take credit for this. This is, hold on, let me find him. Jordan Sperber on Twitter, HoopVision68. He tweeted out this this kind of just a summary of what happened. He pointed this out and how Loyola responded to Shabazz coming back in. And they started attacking him and with different guys, a few buckets by Schwieger, one by Marquise Kennedy, but just really using their bigger, stronger guys or bigger, stronger guards to attack the hoop. There was one instance where Schwieger just went at him one-on-one and he couldn't foul him because it was with 8 minutes and he got an easy layup. Two possessions later, they set a screen for Schwieger. Shabazz didn't know whether to switch on to him or stay with his original guy. And again, easy layup. And then, a little bit later, Marquise Kennedy got a long rebound, was pushing the ball up the court. And, actually you hear from the bench, and Jordan points this out, that Drew Valentine was shouting Nova, Nova, which he's surmising is Loyola's call for like a dribble drive into a post up. And that's exactly what he did. He had Shabazz on him. He backs him down, gets within the circle and just little jump hook. For two. And so that was, I think, really impressive, like recognizing that and attacking it. I wish they would have done it later in the game. They kind of struggled under 4 minutes to get another bucket until Huddy had that dunk with like a few seconds left. I think they might have been trying to do that and it just was either were trying too hard or weren't attacking it in the right way. But I just, it's an impressive piece of coaching, first of all. Second of all, impressive execution, that they got these 3-4 buckets within a couple minutes of each other. And that was what gave us that big cushion to allow San Fran to, if like they hit those kind of crazy threes with a couple minutes left. But because we had built our lead up to 9, using the strategy, like it was kind of, a moot point, I guess. But I just really, it was just impressive. I thought Schwieger had a great game. Like you said, 9 of 10. I would like to kind of talk more about Tom Welch. And
absolutely. I apologize, actually. No, you're absolutely right. You mentioned him and I didn't. And I think the highlight tape does it well. And I think Drew in the highlight tape mentions a guy stepped up, and Tom Welch definitely stepped up. I think his minutes were key. And again, that's the thing. It's like his minutes, if you look at it, Tom Welch, 14 minutes, 6 points, but they are critical points. And I think on the defensive end, did he not have I thought he had a block, but
he did. He did have a block though. So either they just put it in the wrong category or they didn't give it to him, but he definitely did.
Okay. Yeah. So I think he had a tremendous block there at one point. So really just overall, just a great, great kind of outing by him and a guy who we haven't seen too much of. And I'm very, very excited to see him get out there, and feel comfortable, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the other big thing is that we haven't seen Tom Welch out there looking comfortable or really look it just. And again, you've always pointed out, is it an injury? He's had that brace on him. So what was it, right? And I was very happy to see that, overall. Absolutely. So I do apologize. No, you're absolutely right. We haven't given him enough kudos and I think he well deserves it.
Yeah. I just to kind of, belabor that point. I do think he was hurt. I mean, we know he had some injury, right? He was wearing a brace around his hand. It looked like it was his thumb. Kind of hard to tell. But just the way he played in the San Fran game and then later on in the Bradley game as well, he just looked like a different player. And I have to imagine that that was from an injury because I can't imagine that that was just like an effort thing or a slump. Like, he just didn't look like himself. He looked like a brand new player in the San Fran game. So I want to talk about him. I also want to talk about Tate Hall, who I think of both these games, both San Fran and Bradley, was an unsung hero. There are a couple plays. I remembered there were two specific plays where I was like, I'm pretty sure he had an assist on that play, because the box score only gives him credit for one. And then likewise, I was thinking, I was like, Marquise Kenny definitely had more than one assist. So I went back and I watched every bucket that Loyola made. And although I thought there was going to be a lot more errors, those were the two guys. Marquise Kennedy had 3 assists. They only credited him for 1. And Tate Hall had 2 assists. They only credited him for 1. I think they gave Keith Clemens an assist. Keith Clemens an assist when he didn't have one because I couldn't find one. But anyway, my point is I thought Tate played really well defensively. He's getting these really open threes and not hitting them. And I'm so confident that one of these days he's going to make one of them and he'll go on a roll for a couple games in a row and make 3, 4, 5 threes. His shot selection is great. I don't change anything about when you're shooting. I love his like dribble, like post up into a post up when he's got a little bit of smaller guy on him. He's always playing hard defense. He only finished with 2 points, 2 rebounds and 2 assists, even though it says 1. But I thought he had a great game. And I want to make sure to talk about him a little bit, but, any of the other guys that you want to talk about, Huddy or Ahir, Lucas, any of those guys?
I think it's just going to be, Braden, I think, not bad games at all. I think both games I'll talk about just how I think personally he's getting back into things. I think we got to just blatantly talk about the last maybe 20 seconds of the game. So unless you had really a player you wanted to go into too much more detail about, I absolutely agree with your point about Tate Hall. I think he's trying to put up shots that just for some reason just not falling. And I don't think it's anything against him. I just think it's just a matter of time that they fall. Cause he's pretty much nearly wide open. Maybe a man coming to, put up a hand in front of him, but he is, pretty darn close to, getting a lot of these buckets. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, if you want to start talking about the end of the game, go ahead.
Yeah, so the reason why I want to talk about starting end of the game is that it also kind of coincides with talking about Huddy, who personally I think is, again, in my book, a freshman. I know, yes, he's played in the NCAA tournament, and he had a lot of great minutes then, but we can't forget that he's still young. And I think this will help him really just get comfortable. So long story short is last 20 seconds, he got the inbound ball. And I don't know if it just was really hard to get him. I know he's 6'9" or whatever, and he had a double team on him. So, again, it's tough. I'm not playing the situation. I don't know how stressful it is. But on the video, of course, it looks like it's just a simple, easy pass to give it to, was it Braden? Probably. And that. The ball got turned over. They had an open opportunity to tie the game, right?
Yeah, they were down
74-77. They missed it, and then I think Marquise Kennedy or Lucas got the board, which is probably the biggest board of the entire game. And then either Lucas or actually, I kind of want to see who got the rebound.
I think it was Marquise. I'm pretty sure. And I think he even might have blocked
it. He blocks it. It was a block. In the video, you can tell it's a block. He blocked the layup. So that's what it was. So it was turnover by Huddy. They go for a layup. He blocks the layup. Then a rebound. They put it out for 3, and they missed the 3. And then Ryan actually, and then Lucas, of course, has the wide open pass to Huddy. So I don't know what was going on. Again, it was a really competitive game. So I think the only thing I have to talk about, just because it's like, you would hope this situation puts them in like, hey, we watch this film and this is what we need to not do in game time situations. Even when we're up. Cause again, even if you're up, yes, there's ability of like, hey, we don't have to like rush or anything, but one bad step, one bad play gives the team the other ball like it did. And again, I think to be honest with you, I'm very intrigued why Huddy's not the inbound guy, right? Because you would think you don't have the tall guy in. So, I forget now if Tate was the inbound because Tate's always tall. He's tall and he's always usually been the inbound guy. So very intriguing there. I think it's just something that doesn't look great on film, right? It looks like panic a little bit, but overall the collect themselves. We got the defensive stop. There's multiple guys next guy up. And I think one of them was, Marquise to get the block and then guys just playing strong defense. So really just something that, I was intrigued with, even though I think Huddy had a great game for being a month away. Just something that really struck me as like, it wasn't a panic button, but it's something we definitely have to worry, just get concerned about moving forward. But overall, come on, San Francisco, the Dons, what a great mascot name, but they're going to be a top team. And lo and behold, I'm really annoyed no one talked about it, and we didn't tweet it out. But this was Jesuit Jam, if people didn't realize. University of San Francisco is a Jesuit school. I miss Jesuit Jam. A lot of Jesuit schools are good basketball schools, so I think we should continue it. So really happy, though, overall. I think it was a great game, and I think the guys, again, we were a month away. I think that's the big thing there, of course.
Yeah, I mean, just to confirm your point, we do need – I think we need to play these guys every year. Like, I think this game is great. These coaches are some of the best young coaches in college basketball, Jesuit schools. I don't mind. Let's go to San Fran next year and have them come back to Chicago in 2024 or something.
Funny you said that. I actually thought about it. We should just do it in Vegas. Nothing like two Jesuit schools doing it in Vegas.
Yeah.
Nothing like it.
I love it. But yeah, I mean, just to kind of put a tie bow on this game, final score 79-74. Just a hell of a game, a hell of an impressive way to schedule, which I want to talk about here in a minute. Just major props, and this was said throughout the whole process of getting the game, after the game, but props to both these teams, coaches, and also big ups to Salt Lake City Community College, or junior college.
Absolutely.
For being able to put this together. I forget if this is in the article I'm going to talk about here. Oh, it was, yeah. So I'll save it for this article that I'm going to talk about. But any last thoughts on the game, Lou?
Excited it got scheduled, and I'm very excited to talk about the next part because I know what you're about to talk about, and I would love to mention what happened after the game.
Yeah, so what we are going to talk about here is an article on The Athletic from Brian Hamilton. I tweeted it out from the podcast account. Just honestly, one of the best college basketball articles I've ever read of any Loyola content. It's titled, "This Was a Good Day, How Loyola Chicago and San Francisco Produced a Weird, Wonderful Game at a Utah Community College." And it's just all about how this came to be and then kind of the fallout from it. And I'm not going to bore you with all of it, but one of my favorite parts was talking about how they were going to physically get to the game, right? So Todd Golden had reached out to Drew. They figured out, okay, we do want to play this game. We want to play it on Thursday because they had a cancellation on Thursday. San Francisco did. And funny detail, when this was all going down, our athletic director, Steve Watson, was on a plane going to Hawaii to watch the men's volleyball team or be with the men's volleyball team as they flew halfway across the world, pretty much, to play at Hawaii. And so they actually had to use Drew got help from the assistant athletic director. So then they're trying to get out there, and they have been using charter flights recently within the past few years. And so Drew's calling everywhere to try to get a charter flight, and they're just not having any success. So eventually they do find a charter flight that says, "We'll fly you out to Salt Lake City. But we can't promise you that the plane's going to be able to be there to fly you back the next day." So they start looking at like commercial flights to fly back from Utah on Thursday. So fly in Wednesday, fly back Thursday. Yeah, fly in Wednesday, fly back to Chicago Thursday. And the latest flight for a commercial flight, direct flight to Chicago, was at like 5:30. And so they had to schedule the game early enough where if the game went into overtime, they still had the time to be able to get to the airport and fly back to Chicago. So because of that, they start planning, you know, they get a hotel, they're planning meals for the guys, because the flight, I think, left Chicago at like 4 or 3 o'clock or something like that. So they're getting dinner, all that kind of stuff. They get on the plane, or they go to the plane, and when they get there, it's a propeller plane. So it's smaller in size and also can't travel as fast, can't travel at the same altitude as some of the other charters. So instead of the normal 3.5 hours, it takes them 5 hours to get to Utah, and that affected all of the bus that they were scheduled to have, the meal that they were scheduled to have. They couldn't practice at all the night before. So they didn't even practice until shoot around or the morning of. And then eventually got there, the charter was like, okay, we can fly you back, you know, whatever happens scheduling. But in between that time, when they didn't know if the charter flight could take them back, Drew actually called Porter Moser and said, hey, we know that you guys have a charter flight, or that you have connections with charter flights. Like, can you help me out, or can you help us out? And this is on an interview, actually, this piece. And Drew never said, like, what Porter or how Porter responded, but it was kind of, I think, implied that that didn't come to fruition with Porter, with Porter's help, at least. But, yeah, if you want to talk a little bit about what happened after the game, I think this is what you're going to talk about.
Just for emphasis there, one of the greatest, I agree, it's one of the greatest college basketball articles, maybe even sports articles I've read in some time, just because of all the moving pieces that had to happen, again, with all the games being canceled. But just for emphasis there, Loyola, we won the game, and they hadn't even practiced because they landed, ate, and then just went to bed. They didn't practice at the community college until the day of the game. And it was an 11 a.m. game there, even though it was only an hour off from where they were coming from. But the best part about it all, but I think that nearly the cherry on top, even better than the photo of the two coaches, was right after our game ended, all the fans and the players were asked to kindly hurry up off the court because another college women's basketball team, I don't know if it was community college or just whatever college, they had a private indoor, private closed practice. Mm-hmm. And it was, I think, just the best cherry on top, all the moving parts. And it just, there was no like glamour about the game being ended. It was like, hey, they got another thing going. And I think it took $500 for that team to even postpone practice, for a little bit longer than what, than during our game. So all the moving pieces, I think even one of my favorite parts is Drew mentioned, oh, they got the video. They got our pregame video up. Didn't expect that. And that's the thing. It's like, I don't think anyone, wanted to really, they needed anything but just a game. We wanted a game. We got a game. I think that was the biggest thing and the best thing. And by God, I think it might be the best game for a non-con. I thought was all right and was heading the right direction with Davidson and then Norfolk State, those games. And it's like, and then this game really, I think, really does it for us for non-con. And I think we had a great non-conference a year, and I think it was a great way to end it for non-con there. But what a story, what a time. And, again, maybe the A-10 we won't have this problem, but you never know. We'll run into it again.
Yeah, like you said, it was such a great story. And the game itself, just really impressive and probably our best win. We'll see how the rest of the season goes. But, yeah, so from that – on Thursday, they get home, you know, probably later on Thursday evening. And then they have one day of prep. Maybe they were able to watch some video Thursday night, but one full day of prep to get ready for Bradley. And they played, that game Saturday at home at 3:00. And, it was a doozy in more ways than one. It was a predictable start. I think both teams are kind of struggling, missing some shots. Defense was, I don't know if it was, I don't think it was good defense affecting the shots. But Loyola hopped out to a little bit of a lead. I think they were up by like 7 at one point, like halfway through the first. And then there was a injury scare with Ugwak. I think it was a concussion scare, and I think he even like hit Marquise Kennedy. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw it. So funny enough, Marquise is the one who hit him. I think Marquise was going up, and none of this I think is intentional at all, unless they have some video game grudge or something. But Marquise went up for I think a board and just came down with his elbow, just landing on Ugwak. And yeah, I think it was just I think Kaplan said on the around the play-by-play that, yeah, just concussion protocol. He went back because he did get hit on the head, and it was a head injury. So a little bit scary, of course. And I think, Buck, I don't know if you want to continue, but that injury actually set a tone for the next, maybe 5-8 minutes in the game.
It did. I think the rest of the first half, they were struggling. Not many shots went down. Bradley took the lead. We briefly took it back, I think, on a Schwieger 3. And then going into halftime, we were down 4. And, I was a little bit worried. I'm not going to say, like, I thought Loyola was going to lose, right? Like, oh, trap game, you know, whatever. But I was a little worried just that coming back from high altitude, tired legs, some guys played some big minutes. I thought that we would win by 7 or 9, but I didn't expect it to happen like this. And what ended up happening is Bradley came out shooting like a flamethrower, man. Like, I think they made 4 threes or 5 threes within like the first 4 minutes of the second half. Something just like absolutely ridiculous. I'll count them up. 4 threes. And they were up at one point. They were up 16. I'm trying to find where that actually was, but, yeah, they were up 50-34 with just under 14 minutes left. And man, like, I, as a fan, just deflated, right? Like, this sucks. Like, we had such a great win a couple days ago. We're on the cusp of AP top 25. A home loss. We haven't lost at home in 28 games. Not since Davidson in, I think, 2018 or 2019. And man, you know, just lots of feelings, right? And the team very easily could have packed it in, you know, obviously given effort, whatever, trying their best. But, they did anything but that. They came back, and made this thing a game. They got it to within 3, with 8 minutes left. And then it became a dogfight back and forth. I have to talk about two guys, Chris Knight, really impressive game, especially in the second half. And Lucas Williamson, a huge, huge, huge second half in overtime, just took over the game in overtime. Both sides of the ball and right before the end of the second half. And just became this dogfight. And Loyola was down 4, with, less than 2 minutes left. And Lucas hit an incredible, pretty deep 3, got fouled, made the free throw. They got a stop on the very next possession. And then they got a layup. Chris Knight made a layup, to put us up 2 with a minute left. Bradley came back, made a layup, tied the game, and Loyola had 2 shots at the end of the game to win it. Lucas took a 3. Schwieger got the offensive rebound, kicked it back out to Lucas, who drove to the hoop, went up into 3 defenders, and I swear I will die on this hill. He got hit in the head. It should have been a foul. I understand that refs swallowed their whistles with less than 5 seconds or 10 seconds. I think that's garbage. I think it was close, but he got hit in the head, and that's a foul. But didn't call it, went to overtime. The long and the short of the overtime is, it was a free throw battle for 3 minutes, I think you could say, or even 4 minutes, dang, where I don't even think either team made a field goal in overtime. Yeah, neither team made a field goal in overtime, until Lucas hit a 3 with about a minute left. It was that play that I talked about far earlier in the podcast that Coach Drew up for Lucas in the corner, hits a 3, goes up 3, and then Lucas continued to make six free throws to ice the game, and we end up winning 78-71. So I have a lot to say. I'm just going to turn it over to you, let you talk about whatever you want to go on about for this game, and then I want to talk about just kind of the impact of the game a little bit later.
Yeah, I think this is the game I thought we were going to have, not going to lie, with San Francisco. I don't think really anyone would have expected this not to be the game, right? This type of style game. It's a tale of two halves. That's what we've had these games before, and it is a tale of two halves. And I don't know what's up with Bradley, but Bradley seems to have nearly our number. Now, again, last year it happened at Bradley, right? Or Marquise Kennedy happened to step up and win the game for us. But Bradley, and I think it's Wardle, right? I think he knows what he's doing a little bit. He did take his team to 2 NCAA tournaments recently in the last, 5 years. So an interesting team, but a team that really didn't have anyone really on the team still, coming back. I think they got really one of the top 2 co-transfers, but, it's a tale of two halves. Ugwat goes down and we let them come back from 15 down 5 to end the half up, 4. And then they go up with the 16, and that 16 point mark, man, I swear, I was one of the few people who was like, there goes that 28 winning streak, right? And I'm not going to lie, just like you 16 and the way the game was going, but this team just found a way, found the will. And again, Lucas Williamson decided to say, hey, I'm going to wake up in the second half and I want to play. And he did. He put his head down and just drove and did things and took threes that, oh my Lord, I don't know if anyone really want to take the three. But, and again, 9 of 11 from free throw, only 4 of 12 from field goal, which is not the greatest, right? It's 25%. It's 33%. But 3 of 8 from 3, but 1 3 just, I think, is going to show up more than anything in the box score for us. So, yeah, I think just a tale of two halves. I don't know right now, and I'm trying to pull it up, but the biggest thing for me was, I think it happened a lot in the first half, but we gave them 12 offensive rebounds. And again, I know the box score has been wrong a few times, so maybe let's just say maybe a margin of error for 2, and we'll say 10. But there were moments where I'm pretty sure Chris Knight got the ball taken out of his hands, the rebound taken out. There were times where guys were getting boxed out, and Huddy just wasn't being there. And so it just really was frustrating just from watching, and you're like, oh, what's going on? What's going on? And then the second half, you have Chris Knight just decide to grab every rebound he possibly could. And I was like, the man must have been listening to our podcast a month ago when I talked about rebounds. So, and I'm right, because he had a double-double. He had 11 rebounds, 5 offensive rebounds, 6 defensive rebounds. I think those 5 offensive rebounds might have all come in the second half, maybe 1 in the first half, but just a different game. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. The second half was a completely different game. You had guys like Chris Knight and Ryan Sweeger step up. I think Chris Knight, one of the best outings. And again, you had Tom Welch in the San Francisco game, and you have Chris Knight in this game. And also, I think field goal percentage. How many times in the first half, even though they're only first half, did the Hero Guac get the ball underneath the hoop and just dunked it? He was 6 of 8. Chris Knight was 7 of 8. Guys just being efficient. Now, there are a few guys. Now, the 3 wasn't really falling. Sweeger was 1 of 6. I think 0 of 3 early on. Braden was 1 of 4. Lucas 3 of 8. So the 3 might not have been there, 21%, but we found other ways. And what the other ways were in the second half, and I'm going to really look into it, to be honest with you now, is the amount of drives to the rim and underneath passes. Mm-hmm. I think Tate had it to Chris Knight. There were so many drives and just dishes underneath. And I think that's why the assist numbers are kind of spread out. Yeah, Braden with 5, 3, 3. So really a different game, a different second half. This team did not give up, no quit. And I think Tate Hall, one of the guys you don't really see, he really makes a difference defensively with his size. 26 minutes is not mediocre. He was 2 of 3, I know, but still, defensively, even with 4 points, I appreciated him out there. Just be careful with turnovers. I think that's also something, but I think that was mainly in the first half. Screw Lucas's four turnovers. I don't even consider them possession when he's diving on the floor and all his body's on the court and he's grabbing balls. So it's kind of BS, but overall, just what a game. And OT, man, like, who would have thought Lucas just scores nearly 9 of all the points, maybe 9 of 12, maybe 8. So overall, just excited to see that grit and grind at home. First home game in over a month nearly. So happy overall, just a different game, but definitely something to look back. I think the first half is what you want to watch on film. You definitely want to watch it. And you definitely go, hey, here are the don'ts we do. And then second half is like, here's what we need to improve on, but here's where we really, really, really pushed it. And I think that was a great effort. So, again, exciting to get another conference game in. But overall, I think the four-point play is going to live in our heads for quite some time. And it's a play that really just is going to emphasize this game. And, again, hopefully the rest of the season.
Yeah, that four-point play by Lucas is just an all-timer for me. Like, for sure. Just like, I was watching it from home, jumped up, and like, you know, so hype, screamed, I'm sure, probably said something I shouldn't have, some bad words, but yeah, just like that play was great. I just kind of want to talk about, like, I can't believe they came back. I can't believe they came back from a 16-point deficit after playing 2 days ago with 1 day of prep, after Bradley starts hitting threes from frickin' Evanston. And like, their legs had to have been dead. Lucas, Braden, Ahir, all those guys played big minutes in that San Francisco game, and they knuckled down, and they played tough defense and they got turnovers. It's not like they just started hitting from three. Like you said, 21% from three. They started driving to the hoop. Chris Knight decided to just be dominant, right, in the pick and roll and offensive rebounds. Braden was feeding in the ball. Props to Braden for 5 assists. I thought he had a, even though he didn't score the ball a ton, I thought he had a great game, passing the ball around, even sometimes when he didn't get credit for the assist. You know, and even we saw Huddy probably had his worst game this year. I think this is like, no offense, I'm not trying to be shady, but he had his worst game. Marquise Kennedy did not have a great game. Even though Ubach did have a pretty good game, he struggled from the free throw line. Like we said, like 3-point shooting woes, Schwieger, 1 of 6. You know, we didn't get any contributions really from Keith Clemens or Tom Welch. St. Thomas came in for 2 minutes and had a horrible stretch. Again, not trying to be rude, but that's what happened. And what I'm getting at here is like, this was one of those games where multiple players struggled and we still won. Like, this isn't even everyone playing near their best. Like, Lucas had an extraordinary performance in the second half and overtime. And, you know, and Chris Knight had an excellent game. Other than that, people didn't play up to their, really to their potential. And we still came back from a 16-point deficit and won the game in overtime. I just like, I don't know. This is one of those games that I think I look back on at the end of the year and just really impressed, and how it happened. And I think this is going to be one of those games that spurs the team to play better and know that they can come back, know what they have, the potential in them. And hopefully they don't have to come back from a 16-point deficit again, but know that like, oh, we're down 6 with 5 minutes left. Oh, well, we came back from down 6 with 2 minutes left, you know, in against Bradley. So I just like the mindset of these players has to be sky high after winning this game. And yeah, they dug themselves a hole, but just really impressive for them to dig themselves out and win the game. I thought Ubach had a pretty good offensive game. It was tough to see him have to sit out for a little bit. I obviously understand the procedures and protocols in place, and I'm glad they're in place, but just kind of a tough thing to watch. I actually thought Tom Welch played more than he ended up playing. I would have liked to see him get in a little bit more, but I understand like rotations and matchups and all that kind of stuff. You know, how that all works. I thought it was a hell of a game. Really impressed that they won. And looking forward to this game when they go travel down to Peoria and play Bradley on the road. So, any other thoughts about the game, Lou?
Just an exciting one. And to be honest with you, one that reminds me of last year's at Peoria. Just they pulled it out of somewhere, and I think that's just what Loyola does, and I hope that mentality is like, we're never out of it, but I think the biggest thing is I would like to not have to be in that many situations like that again. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. So very excited overall, and just happy to see some of the guys step up when other guys were just struggling a little bit, like you said, right? I don't think the whole team was perfect, but I think some guys, especially second half guys, stepped up in the second half. And some of the guys like Lucas, who didn't have that, 0 points in the first half, can't deny that wasn't that great of a first half for him, but also wasn't afraid to let that kind of stop him. So great mm-hmm. overall effort. And again, always a pleasure, always a great time seeing a W at the end of the game.
Yep, that is for sure. And I think now we can start, continue the campaign for Ryan Schwieger, Sixth Man of the Year, because he had another pretty good game. And our bench, man, our bench, I know we talked about players individually, but our bench is really impressive. And in a season where I think depth is going to play a huge role, especially with some of these rescheduled games where we're playing 3 games in 6 days, or even one time we're playing 3 games in 5 days, that's going to really be a huge, huge factor. So just something to kind of look forward to or keep in your back pocket. But yeah, the final score was 78-71. Went to overtime, and we got the dub, and that's what's important. The only other thing we kind of wanted to talk about was the AP poll ranking. And honestly, the reason we didn't record last night was because we thought that we would be included in the top 25 and we wanted to talk about it. So honestly, maybe we jinxed it. I had tweeted some from the podcast account, some of the back end of the top 25 or some just some important things that I thought might play a role in our potential selection for the top 25. And if anyone doesn't know, we did get 96 votes, which is good enough for 27th or, you know, unofficially 27th. So we did miss out on the top 25. Just some things that I saw. I'm so upset that Providence is in the top 25. I think that that's just bogus. If you look at some of our rankings, against them, I tweet again, you know, someone else, I was tweeting I don't know if it was a meme account or a Providence account or something, but, just going back and forth a little bit. But if you look at like our rankings on some of the other websites, we're just head and shoulders above them. On here, just for a summary, Loyola's rankings, on KenPom, we're number 23. On Haslametrics, we're number 13. On Bart Torvik, we're number 34. And in the NCAA efficiency tool rating, aka the net ranking, we are 19th. Providence is high. Their highest is 35, which is, lower than our lowest. They're 35, 41, 60, and 50. Like, it's just like, makes no sense. They have a big win against the University of Wisconsin. They have a couple impressive wins, but they also have some really, they have two pretty poor losses. And when they're winning, they're not necessarily winning by a lot. And that's what kind of goes into those rankings. But for me, I'm just as shocked that we're not in it, that Oklahoma's not in it. You know, honestly, I thought Oklahoma would for sure be in the top 25 considering they beat Kansas. And they were just right outside the top 25. You know, I thought, some teams like Texas, potentially, and Alabama could have fallen out with their bad losses. But I think the moral of the story is just, you know, screw the rankings, keep winning. And eventually, if we keep winning, we'll be ranked. But yeah, Lou, what were your reactions to the 25 poll? And I don't know if you have any other thoughts about it.
Yeah, I think I've seen a few tweets just like not enough of the end teams, like the bottom teams in the top 25 lost. Now, do I think Providence should still be in it? No. But I'd be more frustrated if I'm an Oklahoma fan. I don't know. Oklahoma has beaten Florida. They've beaten Iowa State. I know they have some losses. So I know that's tough, but and what Oklahoma, they also beat Arkansas. So that was really tough to see. And it's just funny. I think you even tweeted it really well, is that who would have thought we're behind Illinois and we're behind good old Porter Moser, right? So, I'm frustrated. Just, I don't understand why Illinois is in it, and not because we're not Illinois fans anymore. Just, I don't know who they've beaten. And last time I checked, they've lost to a handful of teams. So really intrigued there. I think we just got to keep going. We're going. And to be honest with you, we're just not getting looked at because we don't have, I guess, that many high quality wins, right? I think the San Francisco game, I thought mm-hmm. that would push us in the direction, even though our losses are high quality losses. It's weird to say, right? But our two losses are to two top 10 teams, and one of the teams is in the top five. So it's a frustrating thing, definitely, but we just got to do what we do great, and that's win. We can't really let up. I think the Bradley game is a great wake-up call for a team that hadn't played in quite some time, especially a team that's about to be getting into a lot more conference play. And to be honest with you, we still haven't played Missouri State or Drake, who beginning of the year we were getting worried about, and I still think there's something to not really be unworried about. We still want to be worried about it. So excited, though, for conference play. And, again, as we're recording, we got our game tomorrow with good old Valparaiso. And crazy enough, this will be our – last time at home against Valparaiso for conference play. So crazy to think.
Yeah, you're right. But I mean, like I said, just keep winning and, hopefully they'll recognize us at some point. It does look like the back end of the top 25 has some pretty tough games this week rather. And, you know, we do have Alpo. And then I think we have Indiana State, which is actually crazy because we've already played Indiana State once. But we would have, we'll potentially have wrapped up our series with Indiana State, by the end of the week, as long as everything goes according to plan. So let's, hope we have two more games, two more wins, and, let's just keep on rolling, you know? Lou, any last thoughts before we sign off this week?
Just keep on winning, and Drew Valentine, win more Coaches of the Week if you want to.
Mm-hmm. And keep showing out with that, those shoes. Cause man, our crew, our coach crew is the best dressed coaches in all of college basketball. So
absolutely
keep it up. And, that's going to do it, from us here at Podcast 63. Thank you all for listening, and never forget, always remember, go Blurs.